Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-pated fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and T. Quiller, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Welcome to episode 170 of
The Inexplicable Dumb Show.
I'm T. Quillen.
I'm John Malden.
What do we got this week, man?
Well, I've hijacked another friend to via phone to talk about her job up north.
You're kind of like that obnoxious journalist that just shoves a mic in somebody's face.
Like I said, I'm trying to get the Fox News internship job.
Well, is it working? Is that working?
Each week I'm building more footage.
That's so true. Has the phone rung yet? Rang?
Just Lou
rung
Dobbs, in? But...
yeah, well...
You know, he's out of work now, so...
Speaking of that, totally off topic, I saw a headline on The Onion that said that he'd been deported to Mexico, that he'd been hiding in the country all this time, and they deported him right to Mexico. I just thought it was funny. But anyway... I digress. Sure. Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to have Celia Lighthall talk to us about her time in New York. She works for Food Play and she's their assistant production stage manager.
Mm-hmm.
She organizes their tours and whatnot. So.
Living in exile, as it were.
Yes. I'm a prisoner of war.
All right. Well, cool. Well, let's do it.
Okay.
Want to stay current with the Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
Bad credit? No credit? High interest credit cards? Don't work from home. Working from home is for suckers. Go out there with headshot in hand. Audition. Book gigs. It'll be time well spent. At least you'll be paying the rent.
Here's how.
Hey, T.
Yes, sir.
We have on the phone with us a longtime cohort, Celia Lighthall.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
Good, good. How's the weather up there?
No, well, it's a little cold up here in New York right now. I mean, unless you were making a tall joke.
No, I would never make a tall joke.
I feel like I've done all this before.
A series of small jokes. Small. I usually stair-step my height jokes. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, so it's cold up there in New York. What are you doing?
Right now, I am assistant production managing for a touring children's theater company called Food Play Productions. We tour all over the country with our message of teaching kids to make healthy choices, which is really cool through the medium of theater.
No, okay. Healthy choices just in general, or healthy choices like as in what to eat? I mean, are we talking...
Are you sponsored by Healthy Choices?
Yeah, that's a good question, too.
We are not sponsored by Healthy Choices.
Because I mean,
we are our own company. We do. It's a little bit of both. We focus a lot on nutrition, on making food choices, but also exercise and reading through media messages, so not necessarily believing everything you see on TV.
Mm.
And our middle school show does also go into a little bit of smoking and body image and things like that, eating disorders and whatnot.
But you don't cover stuff like don't run out in front of cars or. Any of that kind of stuff, do you?
We hope that that's common sense, so we don't cover that, but maybe we should.
Don't jump from a moving bus, those types of things. I mean, those are healthy choices.
Not as of yet.
Yes, they are healthy choices.
But I'm working
choices.
On a new show. Maybe I'll have to include that.
There you go. See? I'm here to help.
Yes. And he's doing so well.
I'm batting 1,000 today.
So how long have you been up above the Mason-Dixon line?
I moved to New York in 2005 and started stage managing with the New York Music Theater Festival. And from there, stage managed a handful of shows in the city before getting this tour with Food Play. And I toured with them for a spring and then got promoted to assistant production manager.
That's great. So does that mean you are more often than not office-based and touring less nowadays?
I am. Yeah. Yeah, now I'm kind of overseeing the tours and training the other stage managers for tours and that kind of thing.
Okay. So every road warrior has some stories. So without giving names
or anything.
Yeah, you
don't have to name names unless you want to.
Yeah. What's some of the weird things that happen out on tour for you?
Probably the biggest challenge, of course, is that you put, you know, several different personalities together in a van and send them out, and you never know exactly who you're going to get. So there is always, there can be personality conflicts, and everybody has a different set of what they think is, you know, cool and what is not. For instance, I was on tour with a guy who thought that it was really funny when it was, you know, negative 11 degrees outside to, you know, decide to have bodily functions in the van where we couldn't roll down the windows. That was real fun. It was a great tour.
That was one of those long tours. Now, how many tours does this company have going out at once?
We have, in the spring, we have 4 tours. In the fall, because we book our tours per semester, since we visit schools, our falls are usually shorter tours, and then in the spring, so we have 1 or 2 in the fall, and then 4 in the spring. We have one tour that is constant throughout the semesters. It's our local tour, which is New England, New York, New Jersey. And we have one tour who goes to every school in Philadelphia. Our middle school show, which is called This Is Your Life, is touring in every school, every middle school in the state of Utah. And then our Everywhere Else tour that starts out on the Eastern Seaboard and goes to California and back.
Wow. So the one in Utah, how many stops they have? Like 6?
Yeah.
How many middle
one
schools?
One at each school.
How many middle schools are there in Utah?
You know, surprisingly, there are quite a few. I didn't really realize how many people lived in Utah, but they do.
Well, now they're going to be here making healthy choices.
That's right.
Because of the work you
do. So we're hoping.
Don't jump off.
And a lot of our, what we love about our tour is that a lot of the schools that we go to, we don't necessarily visit the A-list cities, you know, but a lot of the schools that we do, these kids have never seen live theater before. So it's fun to educate in a way that these kids have never experienced. They've seen movies, but they have never understood what it is to have a performer right there in front of them. And by the end of the show, the actors are rock stars, and it's amazing to be able to bring that to kids who don't ever have that opportunity.
That alone is an amazing thing, but at the same time, it is incredibly sad.
It is.
Okay, Debbie Downer.
It is, you know.
Wow.
I mean, but congratulations, though, for
thanks, the harbinger of doom over here. I'm sorry, I didn't know he was going to bring his
button.
Negative
it's
attitude.
It's the red
today.
Button.
Sorry,
it's the red button.
So, in your touring life, what was your favorite stop? Do you have a favorite stop?
Oh man, there was actually. A
I mean,
town
city. I don't mean like a bar or anything.
Oh, because I have lots of those. No, there's actually a little town in Massachusetts called Newton, Newton Center, actually, I think it is, that had just incredible people and incredible little diners, and the kids were just, there was something about these kids that they were amazing to be around and just embraced everything that we could bring to them, and we still look back and go, oh yeah, I could visit Newton again. That's a cool little town. And it's a place that I never in my life thought that I would go. But that's one of the things I love about touring is it takes you to places that, you know, I didn't have that on my list of places to visit originally, but now I tell people they should go to Newton.
Cool. So what is it, now that you're not necessarily on the road all this, what's the stress like? I mean, do you have, again, you don't have to give names or anything, but is it like you have do your stage managers wig out and call you and you get weird calls at like 2 o'clock in the morning saying I want to dump Danny in Utah and keep driving. Is there?
I actually had a comment from a stage manager left on my Facebook last semester that said, I may or may not have left, you know, I'll leave that name. I may or may not have left blank actor in California because he's driving me crazy. That's a good, you know, message to get first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
I can
neither prove nor deny that.
Right. So I had to call just to be sure. But in fact, we had an actor for the show.
Well, have you ever had an actor bail out in the middle of the tour? Again, you don't have to name names, but
no, not actually bail. We have had people who in the middle of the tour went, you know what, I don't really like this anymore, but fortunately we've hired, you know, professionals enough that they stuck it out until the end.
And honored the contract.
You know, yes. Anyway, it is not worth it to try to break that. Right. But we've had actors get injured and get sick and things like that where we have to, you know, come up with another, with a fancy solution. Or we did have a fun, just this semester, we hired someone for one tour and then got a call 3 days later, the actor saying, "So I just found out I'm pregnant."
What was his name? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's problematic.
So, yeah, that's an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, the tour goes till May. At 8 months pregnant, you're not going to exactly be wanting to do cartwheels across the stage. So
no, I can think of better things.
Come up with another option for that.
Well, good for you. You know. God, that, wow. Yeah, that's awkward.
Yeah. So how's
that? Yeah, it was an interesting conversation. And then we have the calls, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning that say so-and-so actor is puking their guts out and we still have to do this show. Or my favorite was when a stage manager called and went, "So the van's been stolen."
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Look at that.
Wow.
Yeah, I would ask you what you were supposed to do at that point, but, you know, wow.
You know, amazingly, we managed to pull it together because it was a Friday morning. We managed to get another troupe in to do their shows, to do their show that day, and get all of their, buy everything we need, and get them to their next show on Monday without missing a single show.
Wow.
Now that is some effective stage management right there.
Wow, yeah. You're like FEMA.
My production team at Food Play is serious. We know what to do.
That's a great slogan. Put that on a t-shirt.
We know what to do.
A lot afterwards.
Yeah, but you don't, I mean, you know, that's a kind of a given. I mean, you know.
So, what's it like being the Southern girl up there? Do people want you to talk a lot or do they want you to?
They do. Actually, the first show I worked in New York for the Music Theater Festival, I was ASM for that. And I walked back to give a half hour call and stuck my head in the dressing room and said, "Hey, I'll work half hour." And the room got silent and they looked at me and went, "What?" And I went, "We're at a half hour. Isn't that is what you say up here, right?" And they understood that. They didn't understand the "hey, y'all," apparently. It threw them off.
Wow.
But after that, actually being the Southern girl has become kind of my catch. People remember me because of that. And every show that I worked in the city was because I got the job because I had worked with someone else who was involved with that show, or my name got passed along. And I think part of that was because I had that niche of, "I'm not like you. You remember me because I talk funny." And so I quit trying to blend in and just went, "That's going to be my thing. I'm just going to embrace it and I'm going to be Southern and everybody's going to love it." And they do, for the most part.
It's charming.
I do have people question my intelligent level because there is that stereotype.
Right. People in South are just stupider. I mean, you know.
Right. I have to go. Yeah, you know, right. I do have a college education. I haven't married any of my cousins. I wear shoes.
Yet.
You know, I don't eat dirt.
Yet.
Yeah. It's not been proven yet.
You can neither prove nor deny.
Right. I may or may not have.
When did the tour start up again?
We have one going right now, and we're preparing for new ones that start in January.
And if people, if there are educators listening to this podcast.
God help them.
In addition to the emails that they'll send us about grammar and, you know, sentence usage and stuff like that, how can educators get in touch with your company to go through the process of booking shows?
Well, we're fortunate to have a very easy website. We are foodplay.com. It is just that easy. And all of our contact information is on that page along with promos that they can download, information about the program. A lot of schools we can help with, if they need to find funding. Sometimes we have partners or we know of grants, things like that, for the individual schools. So that is all available on the website. And the thing about for educators, just in case, I'll do a little, you know, promoting my company. FoodPlay is not just, you don't just get a theater show. It comes with a comprehensive curriculum for everyone in the school for follow-up materials. It can serve as your wellness policy. There are booklets that go with the classroom for all the different subjects, there's stuff for the school nurse, stuff for the cafeteria people, the PE teachers, as well as regular teachers and their students to keep this message of FoodPlay going throughout the year.
What about the guidance counselor?
That's really helpful for schools who are searching. There is stuff with guidance counselor too.
See,
everybody's included in food plan.
That's great. That's important.
The janitor.
Oh, now see, now you got me.
See the cheek in the armor.
You found it. You found it.
Band director.
Well, well, if people still want to find a way to access the thing, even though the janitor's not included, why is that?
Well, that's
a whole note. We can call back and talk about that philosophical stuff later. But what's the website address again?
It's foodplay.com.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks for taking time with us today.
Yeah, thanks for putting up with us.
I just realized,
no problem. It's good talk to you guys.
I just realized this is 2 weeks in a row that John has basically coerced someone to interview with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Last week the guy had no idea. He was being
interviewed. I just told him to John Holloman, who's directing the Oedipus I'm in.
Which opens tomorrow night as we record this.
In the Parthenon.
Right.
Tickets available at conservancyonline.org. Of course, this will go live after. Right. Well, there's the second weekend.
See, there you go.
There you go. All right. So anyway, so I said, show up at the office at 1. We'll talk. And he went, okay.
And he did.
And he did.
And we started the recorder. The rest is history.
You're like the CIA that way.
Did he actually know that he was being recorded?
Oh, no, not at all.
Well,
yeah.
In my defense, I did say it was for a podcast. So.
Well.
Oh, okay.
He may not have grasped what that was.
When we put the big microphone in front of his face. I mean, he kind of figured it out at that point. But
yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, you never know.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
If you love the Inexplicable Dumb Show like I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
All right, so we'd like to thank Celia Lighthall
for agreeing
to talk to us and put up with our shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. For the record, I did hear you ask her if she was interested in, you know, and actually, I think you said you have 10 minutes was the phrase that you used, which could mean anything, but that's okay. That's all right.
Easy, champ.
That's
easy.
All right. Yeah. You can do two things in that amount of time.
You can do that twice.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, and still have a snack between. Anyway.
Maybe even three times.
Maybe. Could possibly be. But anyway, so thank you for taking the time on the phone and spending the time with us. And who knows what we're going to do next week.
Yeah, because we don't.
I'm telling you. So we're still, just to kind of catch up, John's, as we record this, your Oedipus goes live, or doesn't go live, it opens. Different
tomorrow,
phraseology.
Yeah.
And you run two weekends, right?
Right.
We'll promote it again real quick. I know you did.
Oedipus at the Parthenon as this in Nashville, Tennessee. As you're hearing this, we've done our first weekend. So
how did it go?
Well, I think it went fantastic.
Good.
But we're coming up on shows Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week. You can get tickets at conservancyonline.com. It's kind of the Parthenon support group that's kind of handling the ticket things, and I'm sure they will take your money at the door. Come on down and watch some Greek theater in front of a 40-foot Athena statue. So
yeah, nice. And we'll link to it, of course, at inexplicabledumshow.com. The other news is that I've pretty much been sitting behind this microphone almost nonstop since our last podcast, because not only have I gotten the one audiobook, now I've booked two more.
Wow. That's a good deal.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing, but the second book that I got is 17 hours long. I mean, I'm not complaining because I'm paid by the hour, but, you know, still, 17 hours.
Now, when you say paid by the hour, are you paid by the hour of the document?
I'm paid by the finished hour, yeah. Right. By the finish.
So if it takes you 48 hours, you're not going to get any more money than this.
Right.
Mean,
oh, but I promise you, it takes longer than 48 hours.
Right.
You know, you got to imagine that you're reading all 17 hours of the book, plus all of the,
which for you is probably like
a lot.
15 hours.
Yeah, at least triple the time of whatever it is that I'm reading, and then you got to go through and edit that stuff out.
Oh, that's no fun.
Yeah, so it's a lot longer than 17 hours, but still, it's good money and it's a lot of fun. So,
I'm hoping
to have more of them.
So the first one was the Twilight Zone book.
The first one was The Philosophy in the Twilight Zone.
Uh-huh.
Somebody asked me that last night, and I went, God, what was that book called? I really could not remember. Philosophy in the Twilight Zone. the second one, which I'm currently reading and in the process of editing at the same time, is called Lee and Grant. And there's a subtitle to it. I can't remember.
A love story?
Yeah, a love story, definitely. Yeah. No, it's
Forbidden love.
For very much forbidden love. It's that whole
two southern, beards.
Yeah, it's
two beards in a late night.
Right.
It's a romance novel.
It is. It is very much a romance novel.
I got it.
Yeah.
17 hours of it, huh?
Yeah. That one's only six, I think. And then the one that I just booked, two days ago. Stay with me here. This is the 17-hour book.
Okay.
It's called American Entrepreneurship. It's a history book.
Oh, of American entrepreneurs.
From the New World to our current recession.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It's got a lot of statistics in there.
Yeah, I just got the PDF file for it, yesterday.
How do you vocalize a pie chart?
Well, like this.
Wow, that was good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've really been working on it. And I have to say that this is probably the longest closing that we've recorded in the history of our podcast.
Well, statistically speaking.
Statistically speaking.
50% of the time we are, longer by 27%.
Right. And then about 35%.
Give or take 5%.
For the stumbles and And about 35% of those statistics are made up anyway. So
90% of the time.
90% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that takes care of 60% of this closing for the podcast. So so we'll see you next week for the other 40%.
Sounds good.
Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.